I used to sit in the temple, and there this master would train us to wait upon these ascended masters to come and begin to communicate to us, and that they would give us incredible wisdom, that they would begin to open us up to the great universal. Now listen, I believed that, and I believed that it could happen. It was shortly after that that I was engaged by another individual. Now listen, I'd gone to that temple many, many times. I'd practiced Golden Buddha. I had sought to receive what was going to come from these spirits. I sought to leave my body. And all these experiences that I had, as I've said many times before, it never led me to God. It didn't open me up to God, but it did open me up until a few months later when I was encountered by a man that had a presence in him that I had never seen before. Now, that was the presence of God. That was the presence of the Holy Spirit. He seemed to be lit up. And the message, for the first time in my life, was clear that God loved me. Now, it was that night that I went home and prayed to receive the living Christ into my life. That's when everything changed. That's when everything in my life changed. At one moment in my life, on the outside, I mean, that's where God was, on the outside. In all the discussions with my friends, I believed that there was a God, but God was on the outside, and there was really nothing. I mean, there I was on the inside. That was me, my spirit. I was, you know, questing for something spiritually. I was thirsting for something spiritually. I was hungry for something spiritually, and all I knew to do was to engage whatever it was that people were telling me about, and opening the doors to. And so I simply went in that direction until that night when that man shared with me a message that just stung into the deep part of my heart and life. It was all about Christ, all about a living Savior, someone that loved me, that could come in, that God would come into my life. Not the ascended masters, not spirits, not just knowledge from the great universal or wherever, but that God would. Now, that's the night that I believed. And I just simply did what the Scripture said. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 7, that I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of the inmost being would flow rivers of living water. Now, in that scripture, in John's Gospel, chapter 7, and listen, I don't know if you've ever read that. Maybe you're listening right now and you're questing, you're looking, you're spiritually, you know, somehow you think accidentally you've gotten a hold of this message. I would say that by the providence of God, I would say that now that I have walked on this side of the fence for 35 years and I've seen the work of the Spirit of God, I would say that by the Spirit of God you've gotten a hold of this, because I now know there are spirits that seek individuals. There is a spiritual agenda, and that agenda is active and operative and supernatural and will seek people and reveal things and give encounters and cause things to occur and allow knowledge to come in and awaken people and so on. But there is a vast, vast difference between the spirits, fallen, finite spirits, a vast difference between them and the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God. And the question I would say tonight is whether or not you have the infinite Spirit of God dwelling in you, upon you, revealing to you and giving to you the power, the grace, the might, the experiences. Whether it's God the Holy Spirit, or whether it's finite fallen spirits. Some of you listening will know that, it might be by finite spirits that you've had experiences and voices and encounters and engagement and abilities and spiritual expanse in your life. But again, we're going to see a difference here, a contrast here. I believe there's such a thing as extrasensory perception. I mean, we all have perception. I can have discernment and perception and evaluate things. Years ago, I was, even taught when I was in that martial arts, you know, system, that if I would just go out and into the woods and get quiet and passive, that I would listen. And the truth is that we have ears to hear. But I didn't realize that if I put my attention to it, I can hear the sound of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 different species of birds. That if I simply gave time and focus, that with the capacities that I have, I can hear things that were there. Now let me say something that is very clear, and I'm going to give you an incredible picture of this out of, again, the Spirit of God's revelation. The capacities we have as human beings, they're vast. You've got vast capacities within you, body, soul, and spirit. And there's a sense of wholeness, body, soul, and spirit, because we experience that way. But I want you to know that there's definitely a problem. The picture is in a fallen world where our physical bodies are dying, where we have pain and where we have, you know, evil in the world around us. We know something has gone wrong. And the description is that our human spirit is dead to God, dead to the capacities that God would give and grant, because something is in the way. Now, when that spiritual capacity is dead to God, it doesn't mean that we don't have capacity. The question is, when spiritual, outside spiritual, you know, movement or encounter or experience begins to occur, I'm going to tell you right now, there's two sides that want to get to that spiritual capacity within all of us. And there's evidences concerning which one has gotten a hold of us. There are finite spirits everywhere. There is revelation that God has given that there's going to be a massive, massive unleashing. I mean, the Bible calls it planos spirits. They're called imposters or seducers, deceivers. They're able to masquerade. But they're real. They bring real experiences. I mean, I had that before when I was on the other side of the fence. I had human capacity, spiritual capacities. It's clear that within all human beings, there's the ability to receive spiritually, to hear from the other side, to experience from the other side. And I was beginning to experience those things. Others around me were. There were all kinds of things that we got ourselves into. I mean, people can get into Ouija boards. They can get into meditation, astral projection, leave their body. They can get into calling and summoning spirits. There's many different things that can be experienced. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are two sides to the experience that is going on all around us. And it really, really began to flood out in the 60s, in the United States anyway. And when all of a sudden there's this massive pouring out of literature and massive pouring out of spiritual experiences. Now that was predicted 2,000 years ago, that this would occur, and that it would increase and increase and increase, and that it would bring a substitute and alternative spiritual experience into the lives of millions. But that experience would not lead people to God, but shroud us from, well, the presence of the living God. Now, I'm going to go over the difference between, again, when you hear the words extrasensory perception, and people who are psychics and New Agers and remote viewers, listen, many of us know that. Matter of fact, for those out there, I would recommend you getting a hold of an old, old book. Many of you have heard the name David Wilkerson, a well-known pastor out of New York, been around a long time, giving insight to the end of days, and has just done so again lately. But he had a brother, I believe it was a brother named Ralph Wilkerson, And I heard this man in California years and years and years ago at a big round church, thousands and thousands of people. But he wrote a book called ESP versus HSP, Extrasensory Perception versus Holy Spirit Perception. And I want to introduce to you, there's really two sides to the spiritual agendas that are going on. The spiritual agenda of the Spirit of God seeking you out and seeking to bring revelation and seeking to bring experience and seeking to bring a message. And on the other side, there are spirits by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that are seeking to bring experience and bring, you know, abilities and bring revelations. One side has the ability to bring us face to face with God. Because we're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about the uncreated, eternal Spirit of God, the omniscience and the omnipresence. God the Holy Spirit, He is one. If you look in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, you're going to read about, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? The idea is the revelation of the omniscience and omnipresence of God the Holy Spirit. And listen, you listening right now, you either have the Spirit of God that I'm talking about dwelling in you, or trying to. You either have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, or it's just you alone with your spirit dead to God, but yet alive within you. Or on the other side of this fence, you might be somebody that's looked for something, or you've got into something, and you've had numerous spiritual experiences. And listen, Satanists can acquire spirits. They know how to summon spirits and bring them into their very being. There are people that get attachments, and they get mounted, and they have spirits come upon them, and they have energy and presence and abilities and so forth. I mean, the truth is, people can have spirits in and on them and not recognize what they really are. Because there's the difference. The truth is, you cannot have the Spirit of God living in you and upon you as a believer in Christ and not know it. But you can have spirits living in and upon you, and you might know it as an energy or an ability or an enhancement or a presence or a voice, and not actually know the nature or who it really is. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you know the living Christ. You have the Word of God open to you. You know the presence of God, the immediacy of God. You know, and it's all about clear and full revelation. On the other side of the fence, spirits had come to bring enhancements, abilities, revelations, voice, and all kinds of things. You may never get to know who they really are, because they're all about cloaking. They're all about staying hidden as far as their real nature and as far as their agenda. God wants to make Himself completely known and His agenda completely known. Planos, or these finite fallen spirits that I'm talking about, they don't want you to know. You may know people that have spiritual experiences. Listen, you can be psychic. You can be a remote viewer getting information from the Akashic Records. You can claim extrasensory perception. I was reading about Ted Owens, the PK man. The PK man that got, well, he thought also from spirits, and he thought it from aliens, and he thought it from all these different directions. He was getting enhancements, abilities, perceptions, contact, voices, revelations, visions. You can read all about him in the book called PK Man, an older book from the 70s. But he never confessed in all of the experiences. He could never testify, could never tell anybody that he knows God, that he knows the love of God, that he knows the presence of God, that he knows the living Christ. Now, there's a big and vast difference, and I want to give you that big and vast difference as we go through this. Part of that deals with a place. Now, listen, even if you're, you know, a New Age or a psychic or a remote viewer or whatever, even a Satanist or Luciferian, come on. I want you to at least see what the Spirit of God's revelation is concerning the construct of the human being. Because he brings that out in a book called Ephesians in the Bible, chapter 1, when he talks about the eyes of your heart. And I know not a lot of believers in Christ that don't even understand that yet. They don't understand the capacity. We're talking about capacity. The construct of our being as a human being. We have this incredible capacity to receive spiritually. But the issue is, which side of the fence are we allowing to open us up, to speak into us, to give us experience? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there is a passionate drive on both sides of the fence. Let me just be very clear. God, the Spirit of God, seeks you and looks for you and seeks. There's words like draw. He's seeking to draw you. There's no hiddenness about this. There's a summons by the Spirit of God. There's a work by the Spirit of God to convince you and draw you and bring you to the face of the living Christ, to God, to love, to eternity, to the answers. And it's all out there. And it's about whether you're going to accept that or reject that. It's about God enabling you to make a free choice. Where on the other side of the fence, oh, there are spirits, there's beings, extra dimensional beings, they'll come in every kind of flavor. And they will come giving themselves names, saying they're ascended masters, saying they're ancient ones, on and on and on and on. The Tibetan, the Great White Brotherhood, spiritual record keepers of the Akashic Records, the Hall of Records. And they want to bring revelation, inspiration, and things into somebody's life. They want to bring a person up out of their body also. And I'm going to tell you right now that part of the evidences between the infinite uncreated Spirit of God and the finite fallen spirits is what ultimately is revealed. Very clear. God the Holy Spirit never reveals the dark side, never reveals, operates in deception, seduction, as a planos spirit, as an imposter. But I guarantee you the fallen finite spirits that are ancient beings that have great power and great capacities, when they come to humanity, they can bring all kinds of spiritual experience. They're vast in their abilities. But two things they will never do, and two things you might want to check out. They cannot, nor will they, ever, ever reveal the real Christ of heaven. They can't and they won't. Secondly, they can never bring the final, ultimate answer to the depth of your being. That's why there are millions of New Agers. Some have been New Agers 30 and 40 years. And they haven't found what they're looking for. They've got a ton of spiritual experiences, but deep within them, the capacity created in absolute majesty, the Imago Dei, the image of God. In the beginning, we're created with the capacity to be engaged with the infinite God in relationship, to know. Well, planos, fallen, finite spirits cannot do that for you because they are not infinite. They are not serving God. They're not coming from God. They're not sent from God. And their natures are quite different. So let me give you this that's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. If you look down in verse 18, the individual writing this does know God, does have relationship with God. The Spirit of God indwells him. He's very experienced with the other side also. He knows what it's all about. But led by the Spirit of God, he brings this revelation, verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now I'm going to stop there. The word enlightened means the idea of brightened. It's like the picture, and I live on 5 acres, and we have little bonfires in the back constantly, and I know one thing, that if you have a bonfire that's dwindled down and it's barely burning, if you take some of that lighter fluid, or even if you took gas, which we don't do, but if you took lighter fluid and poured out onto that fire, guess what happens? Boom, it just all of a sudden, you know, leaps up in brightness, and it's all enlightened. Listen, the presence of that lighter fluid causes that flame to just burst up and just brings brightening. That's the concept here. In verse 17, the concept is this. As the writer is saying, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, of wisdom and revelation. And then it says in verse 17, so that you may know Him. In the Greek, clear, how to means Christ, the living Christ. And then the word better here is the Greek word epigenosis. That you might know this living Christ experientially, deeply, to the full. Anybody that comes to know Jesus, He comes into your life. And the deeper you go, and the broader you go, and the higher you go, and the wider you go in your knowledge of biblical revelation and of God, broadens all of that. You get to know Him more and more and deeper and wider, and the experience gets deeper, and that's what He's praying about. You can pray that way if you're a believer in Christ. God, grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know my living Savior. Epigenosis, experientially better and deeper. It happens in revivals when the Spirit of God falls in great power, and literally it's almost like gas hitting the fire, and the fire being Christ. See, the centrality of the revelation of the Spirit of God is to bring the Emmanuel, God in human flesh, and all that He is and all that He's done right into our faces. Right into our experience. Right into our very needs. And so when Paul goes on in verse 18, it says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart. Now that is biblical or Holy Spirit revelation concerning the construct of man. You. Now the Greek word is simply that eyes. It involves sight. But it's the Greek word heart, kardia. Kardia. It has the idea of the inner person inside of you, the capacities that can see spiritually, the capacities that can perceive, the capacities that can discern. And the Spirit of God leads Paul in this prayer to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart, that inner ability to see, perceive, discern, and know, might be enlightened. Brightened. And the goal here is so that you might know the hope, that the depth of the hope to which you've been called. To know the glorious riches of the inheritance that we have in Him. And to know the incomparably great power for us who believe. He describes the dunamis, the power, that felt expressed power of God dwelling in every believer in Christ. Dunamis dwells. And he says that that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You realize something? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, what does it mean? That He has literally come into your life. That He is alive in you. That you know Him on a personal basis. Because the Spirit of God has brought the living Christ inside you. I know this by experience. I knew the other stuff by experience too. But the other experiences that I had, all of them, including leaving the body and all the spiritual experiences that came from the finite spirits, well, actually, they led me further and further out into the deep to keep looking for more experiences and more experiences and more. What was going to be the new thing, the next thing? But never, like a never-ending treadmill. Nothing that satisfied, nothing that brought the answer, nothing that, you know, the deep spiritual thirst of the Imago Dei, the image of God, is for God. We want God. God wants us. So, as God has now made the door open for the immediacy of His presence, did you know that God can come to dwell inside of you right now? Again, I give you the biggest, greatest invitation, I believe, is found in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, now I'm talking about a living Christ. You can look back to what He's done, but look now to where He is. He's alive. The Bible even teaches the idea of Him knocking on the door of your heart, the cardia, the depth of you on the inside. The Bible talks about believing with all of your heart, from your heart, believing and trusting in Him and letting Him come into you and giving you the Holy Spirit to dwell in the depths, the deepest parts of you. God wants to come and dwell. That's where all of a sudden there is this incredible, it's called a new birth, a regeneration. It means that the very life of God has come into the depth of your human spirit, and literally a spiritual explosion has come. The work of Christ has been applied. You are totally forgiven, freed from sin's power, Satan's rule, and a new nature, a new power. And that's what it's talking about in Ephesians. So if you're doing the study at all in Ephesians, the power that would dwell in you as you believe and receive Christ as Lord and Savior is the exact same power that raised Him from the dead on the third day. It's the same Holy Spirit who 1,000 years before the resurrection in Psalm chapter 16 predicted the resurrection of Christ. Now listen, I'm going to give you a contrast real quick here, because what the Holy Spirit shows right here as the eyes of your heart, it's a reference to the capacity. We have the ability deep within us to see, experience spiritually. Let me ask you a question. With the eyes of your heart, cardia, the depth of you, where will, mind, emotion, the inner depth of you, what do you see? What does your heart perceive? Discern? No. Does it see and perceive and discern the living presence of Christ, the voice of a Savior who said that we would know His voice, that we'd be familiar with His voice, and once we know His voice, we wouldn't listen to another? John chapter 10. Well, here's some of the contrast we can take a look at. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to the so-called psychic New Age extra-sensory perception, I'm going to tell you right now that it's possible to have extra-sensory perception, but that it doesn't come from God. And that there is a clear spiritual agenda to grab a hold of the eyes of your heart, to grab a hold of the area of your inner being that can perceive. And there's a quest and a goal and an agenda to bring counterfeit, to bring replacement and preoccupation. It's real, but it's not from God. So many people that I've met over the years, and I've heard myself, you know, in many of the studies that I was into, you've heard of the third eye, the concept of the third eye, and you can see this in Hinduism and other places, and deep occultism. Anybody that knows any of that knows the concept of the third eye. And I was listening to a guy, you know, on a video the other day talking about how he's going to help people, you know, open up the third eye to gain access to the inner perceiving, to get the third eye opened. How do you get the third eye opened? How do you get that inner eye, the construct of the inside of you, opened up to see and perceive and discern and take in experiences spiritually, even to get abilities? I'm going to tell you again that it can come directly from God by the Spirit of God and what God wants to reveal and give. I'm going to give you 11 different contrasts to to all of this, just quickly, okay? 11 different contrasts. On the one side, the Spirit of God seeks to draw you, speak to you, to engage you, and draw you to where the source, the singularity, of infinite presence, source, relationship, power, where the answer is. Oh, it involves the implantation and spiritual assurance of indestructible immortality with a joy and an inner knowing that you will see God face to face. On the other side, there will be counterfeit offers. There will be a number of different types of offers to try to somehow satisfy the place that used to be and was originally meant to be the Imago Dei, to bear in incredible majesty the image of God. The fallen cherub seeks to offer an evolution to deity that we ourselves can become gods. The finite's promising the evolution to becoming infinite. It's never happened, not even with him. But let's just take a look over some of the contrasts here real quick. When it comes on the one side of the infinite Holy Spirit of God, in contrast to fallen finite spirits, and the Bible calls them planos, meaning seducers or imposters, that they have the ancient, deep power of deception. My question would be, if you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you, the infinite Spirit of God, the relational presence of God that cares and wants to give you aletheia, truth, then what would guide you? Why would anybody want finite fallen spirits that are known to give real experiences, but counterfeit? On the one hand, God the Holy Spirit will do everything to reveal Christ, to reveal the one that died on the cross, with all the hundreds of prophecies that refer to Emmanuel, God in human flesh. I mean, the demons knew who he was. They feared him. They trembled in his presence. The elect angels worshipped him. I mean, the fulfillment of prophecies, this is now, as the angels recognized, as others did eventually, even as a doubter named Thomas finally realized after the death and the resurrection. He knew this is Messiah, but Messiah, he knelt down and cried out, "My Lord and my God," capital G. That's what all the prophets testified to that was coming, that God would come into human flesh. Now, on the other side, the finite fallen spirits will constantly seek to replace the real Christ, to give you a different Jesus, to give you an, well, astrological Jesus, a psychic Jesus, a New Age Jesus. In every single case, it's a Jesus who is not God in human flesh, a Jesus who is not the Savior that went to the cross, that shed blood in power to bring total forgiveness and cleansing, a purification of our beings, so that the indwelling of God could come and the gift of immortality, the gift of indestructible immortality could come. So there's a replacement Christ. And for many of you that may be remote viewers and psychics and New Agers and others, and you say, well, you've encountered a Jesus, you believe you're going to be like a Jesus, whatever else, I'm telling you right now that the Jesus revealed by finite planos spirits is not the Jesus of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Moses, Samuel, the Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or of the elect angels of God. The fake one you can't even come to really know. The fake one you're going to find out in every single way is finite, incapable of bringing a final answer to your life. Let me go to a second thing. When it comes to God the Holy Spirit revealing Christ, it's all about bringing the literal, living, immediate presence of God into the depths of our being. Into the depths of our being and breaking the bondage and the barriers that separate us from knowing God personally. The indwelling of God. On the other hand, there could be the indwelling of spirits. finite spirits. It's obviously that many people, and I've dealt with many people who've had spirits in them, that once they began to realize, hey, this isn't from God, this thing isn't really helping me, they want me to get more spirits. Listen, when one spirit gets inside a person's life, they're going to want to bring more and more and more and more and more to secure their possession. Let me give you number three. The infinite spirit of God reveals the deep things of God. I'm going to read you something real quick. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read this to you. It says this: No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit, capital S here, referring to the uncreated, infinite Spirit of God. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. If you go a little bit further, it gives a very clear picture. Referring to any single person that has received the living Christ as Savior and Lord, here's what it says, verse 12. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God, that we may understand, perceive, discern. The eyes of our heart there, it's a reference there again, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught, well, by the Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. That's what the Scripture is. Spiritual truths now given in words by the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, listen. I want you to hear this if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You can check it out yourself, 1 Corinthians in the Bible, chapter 2, verse 14. The man or the person without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of God, does not accept. The idea is can't receive the things that come from the Spirit of God. They might even be foolishness. You can't understand them. Because the things of God are, by the Holy Spirit, spiritually discerned. It's very clear that when individuals get spirits to come into their lives, they can get knowledge, they can get information, they can get all kinds of experiences, they can have things revealed. Let me say it again this way. When the Spirit of God reveals, He's going to reveal the deep things of God. Contrast to that, fallen finite spirits cannot do that. They can give you counterfeit experiences, replacement spirit experiences, replacement knowledge. They can talk about force, energy, presence, godlike, evolution, spiritual evolution, in which you've always got to go after and after and after and after and never attain to. So I'm going to tell you again, when we come to the difference between God the Holy Spirit and finite spirits, point number four. The Holy Spirit enlightens the inner sight to be able to perceive God, spiritually experience God, spiritually experience the living Christ, spiritually experience cleansing and being purified, being made right, the joy, the presence, the power. That's what the Spirit of God does. Contrasted to that, finite, fallen spirits, they will bring kind of an enlightening or experience to your capacity. They'll give you extra sensory perception and sight and vision. They open up what they would now refer to as the third eye. You're able to see what they can show you, what they can reveal. We're talking about finite spirits revealing to the most powerful guru sitting on a mountain all kinds of spiritual experiences, but not one that a planos finite spirit unveils comes from God. It's considered counterfeit and imposter, and even is loaded with seduction. Let me give you point five. The Holy Spirit can give abilities. You can read about charismatic gifts in the scriptures. You can read about, and some of you have experienced, abilities from God. Abilities like the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning spirits, healings, all kinds of abilities the Holy Spirit can give. Can spirits give abilities and healings and sights and revelations and prophecies? Yes. They're called pseudo. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in accordance with the coming of the Antichrist, by the way, there's going to be a massive, massive supernatural buildup. There it is called the giving or releasing of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. All kinds of supernatural manifesting things. But when they come from finite fallen spirits, they reveal only what they have the capacity to reveal. Only what they have in their nature to reveal. See, in God the Holy Spirit, in His nature, He comes to reveal God and God's agenda. Whereas when it comes to planos and finite and fallen spirits, they can only reveal what's in their nature and what's in their agenda. In their nature, it's all about counterfeit to God and contrary to God and moving people further from God and trying to replace and somehow satisfy that deep quest concerning the Imago Dei, the image of God. That's why I met over the years hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those who are New Agers and psychics and even remote viewers and others. But when I say, do you know the immediacy in relationship, the joy, the presence, do you know God? And the answer is always no. Just like me back in the late 60s and early 70s. I had many spiritual experiences, but I didn't know God. Because the spiritual doorways I was tapping into and the things that were coming out of those doorways trying to tap into me were planos, finite, fallen spirits, who cannot and will not reveal to me God. They're not going to point me in that direction. And if you've been involved in all kinds of other spiritual experiences and seeking, and you've had all kinds of things, you know, that you've learned from others, but it's never led you to God, I'm going to tell you right now, because it doesn't come from God. God doesn't give you counterfeit. God doesn't give you experiences that negate you from ever knowing God. God's all about revealing Himself. Finite spirits, fallen spirits, are all about revealing counterfeits for the sake of preoccupation, for the sake of drawing individuals in to an agenda that is spelled out, that is driving the world in this spiritual evolution to deification, which has never happened, is not happening, and will not happen. The promises of homo lumos, homo nauticus, homo godlikeness, to become like God. That's what the fallen cherub lied about in the beginning when all of humanity fell from God. Our spirits being dead to God, because of the sin issue and the darkness reigns, my friend. If you don't believe this, go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. At least read it. It talks about God, small g, the God of this age, this eon, this time period you're living in, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. There is a spiritual process, no matter how deep the spiritual experience, no matter how sincere, no matter how real, if it's coming from that side, it will cloak God and preoccupy you. Let me touch on the sixth thing, really is like the fifth, the idea of giftings. When the Spirit of God, point five, comes in, there's perception, discernment, ability to see what comes from God. Even the revelation of all the Word of God is opened up to you, as we've seen in second chapter of 1 Corinthians. You've received the Spirit who is from God, that you might understand, that you might know experientially. When you receive spirits, fallen, finite spirits, yes, the capacity can open up and they can call it the third eye, but you know what? You won't see God with any of those experiences. You won't see anything of God. Point six is God can give, the Holy Spirit can give giftings, abilities, empowerments. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that finite plano spirits can also give enhancements, abilities. Expand your mind, expand your consciousness, expand all kinds of things. But again, they cannot and will not enable you to see anything about God. Now, point number seven, when you have the living Christ, the Spirit of God dwelling within you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, now maybe you've never read where you can be clothed with power from on high. The last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. It's talked about in the book of Acts all the way through. And in this book of Ephesians, chapter 5, God wills that we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That tells you that you have the capacity. As a matter of fact, if you read in Ephesians, chapter 3, it talks about being filled to the measure of the fullness of God. See, that's my experience. I've experienced being filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Because at the moment Christ comes into your life, God comes into your life, your human spirit is made instantly brought into relationship with God. And as you grow and as you are filled with the Spirit of God, you can be filled with the fullness. Now, contrast to that, Satanists know you got to keep getting more spirits and more spirits and more spirits. That's why in deliverance or exorcisms, there's usually more than one spirit. One wants to bring more. If a person somehow can get out a spirit from their life but have nothing, emptiness inside, the danger is the spirit will go out, find others, a plurality of spirits, and bring them back to occupy your life. Listen, if you're sitting there saying, well, you know what, I don't have any of these dark spirits, I don't have the Spirit of God, then you're sitting there empty. Your human spirit was made to be in fellowship with God. The construct of your life is Imago Dei, to bear beautifully with majesty the image of God, likeness of God. But let me ask you something. What image do you bear? Whom do you know? Why is death, you know, part of the human experience, along with all the other things, including guilt? See, on the other side, a preoccupation of spiritual things can come in to try to deal with the deepest needs. But it constantly is like putting a Band-Aid on a wound that never heals. I'm telling you now that when it comes to the living Christ, the healer, when he comes into your life, it heals the deepest wound. The Band-Aid is removed. The wound is healed. The scar. I mean, everything when Christ comes in, gives you his spirit, you're made alive to God. Total purity, forgiveness by Jesus. You'll experience that from the inside out. You'll experience the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. You'll experience being in relationship. You'll experience an inner witness, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Or are you filled with other spirits? They'll come in. The more you let them in, they're going to come in. And the more you want and the more you seek and the deeper you go, listen, left-hand path is incremental, you know, step by step by step by step, more and more and more and more, but never, never getting a heart filled with God. It's God's will that, you know, you can be filled with God, but it comes God's way. The finite, planos, deceiving, seducing spirits can't lead you there. On the eighth point, relationship. I'm talking about when God comes into your life, you now have a relationship. The Greek word gnosko is used meaning an experiential knowledge of knowing God. I confess freely. I know God. God is awesome. God is dwelling within me. God has been in my life for 35 years or more now. And there is a difference. You can have spirits. You can have spiritual experience. You can have spiritual enhancements and abilities. But that's not the same as having a relationship with God. I still see a lot of New Agers and all kinds of people still seeking to try to find. The fact is, God is seeking you. And it might be by the providence of God, by the Spirit of God, that you feel another presence, another supernatural presence, like one former witch out of England that had walked by Martin Lloyd-Jones's, a great pastor from England years and years ago. And she'd walked by again and again and again. She was a medium, and she knew the powers well, but she knew that something else was there, and she began to go and go again and again and again. Finally, she received Christ, and the Spirit of God came into her life. The pastor asked her later, you know, her being a well-known medium, spiritist, and so forth. She knew the powers. He said, "What is it that drew you here?" And she said, "Listen, I've known the powers and I've experienced the powers, but there was something here, a clean," she called it a clean power. Something that she didn't have. If you're listening to me right now and I'm talking about the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the life of God, the joy of God, the power of God, is it something you have? Are you willing to give up planos, finite spirits, and all the things that they have filled your heart and life with, all kinds of counterfeit things? Are you willing to dump those and come to the living Christ who gave His life for you at the cross? See, when the planos spirits bring abilities and powers in your life, and they will and they can if you open the door, they never lead you to the cross. They can't stand the cross. They want you to run from the cross, run from the real Christ, run from the blood that was shed there, because there's a power that flows from what Christ did there. When Jesus hung on the cross, look at it for a second. He did that for you personally. And He wants you. And He wants you to come to Him. And He wants to give you the gift of the Spirit of God. And He wants to give you a new empowered nature. And He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. And He's coming, by the way, and He wants to bring you to where He is, to see God face to face. I'm going to tell you right now, with the planos spirits and all the other experiences you may be getting, you will never, ever, ever, ever see the face of God. God is giving you His message. God is speaking to you by His Spirit. If you're rejecting the Spirit of God's wooing you and drawing you and summoning you to come to the love of God in Christ, and you reject that, then what do you have? Counterfeit, replacements, finite presence, where are they going to take you? What's going to happen in the end? Listen, let me tell you something real quick here. We only have a few minutes left. Point A was about relationship. The Spirit of God seeks to bring you into direct relationship. The spirits, they will move you away. They'll give you other relationships. Ascended masters, beings, presence, thoughts, revelations. Make you an important person in the world's, you know, experience. Give you real experiences, sure, but none of it that deals with or comes from God. Let me give you point number 9. According to the book of Romans, and again, you can study this for yourself, Romans chapter 8, anyone who receives the living Christ receives the gift of the Spirit of God, and he's called there the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship, who comes to live within you, that enables you to cry out, "Abba, Father," in an intimate, personal, immediate relationship, unbroken. I'm telling you to know from the depths of your insides to know God in relationship, an inner witness. You can read in Romans chapter 8, For those that believe in the living Christ and you've received the Spirit of God, it says that His Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with your human spirit, with you inside, that you are a child of God. There is an inner witness that says, you know that you know that you know that you know Jesus is there, that you're a child of God, loved of God, that God dwells in there. There is no inner witness like that when you have other spirits, planos spirits. In the book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1, God the Holy Spirit, contrasted to the finite fallen spirits, warned 2,000 years ago that many of these planos, deceiving, finite spirits would come. That they would come to try to bring replacement. Ultimate replacement is the Antichrist. You see, the Antichrist is going to come and say that he's God in human flesh, that he's God and he wants to be worshipped as God. You've got to realize that. You know, this is what all, you know, Alice Bailey and New Agers and Luciferians have taught for so long. When Antichrist shows up on the scene, folks, he wants to be worshipped as if he was God. He's going to declare himself to be God, but notice that he's finite in everything that he is. How he got here, everything about him, finite, finite, finite. And nothing that comes from finite, fallen spirituality can give you the inner witness of knowing God, knowing where you're going, and knowing that you're going to joyfully, wonderfully, incredibly see face to face God. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit will do that. Planet spirits can't. Let me give you number 10. Inside the believer in Christ comes what's called a dunamis, dynamic, power. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we're shielded by that power. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 that His divine power has given us everything we need to live this life, to be devoted, to be able to live it. We have this dunamis that can come on us and we can be filled with the power of God. Now, there's power on the other side, I guarantee you. There are power demons. Demons exert energy, and you can feel an energy or power. Jesus said to all believers in Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, that He has given us authority over all the demonic realm, over all the finite spirits. And it says this in chapter 10 of Luke, to overcome all the power of the enemy, of Satan and demons. They have power, finite. They got power, but it's not infinite power. Dwelling in me right now is the same power that caused the conception of God in Mary, as prophesied. It's the same power that exerted healings and power over nature and power over sin and power over death. Power at the resurrection. God, the Holy Spirit, raises him. That's the power that dwells in anyone who believes in the living Christ. Dynamic power. It's why in all the exorcisms and deliverances and the engagement with spirits, even with Satanists that really understood dark powers, when it came to the authority of the living Christ, the demons cringed and in fear, were expelled. They know. Let me tell you something. They know. That's why they don't want you anywhere near. If you're into finite fallen spirits and you've got psychic abilities and remote abilities, all these abilities that are being given by the energy and presence of these spirits, let me tell you something. They're going to do everything they can to keep you from Jesus Christ. They are. They're going to do everything to keep you from Jesus Christ all the way to the point of death itself. I'm going to give you the 11th thing real quick here. God the Holy Spirit will witness within the believer in Christ the spiritual experience of knowing that you know you have eternal life. As a matter of fact, the words of the Spirit of God in John's Gospel, chapter 5, say, the Holy Spirit says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son, of the Son of God, that you might know, Greek word gnosko, that you might experientially know that you have Omnion Zoe. That you have eternal life. You have it. If you're a believer in Christ dwelling in you, the Spirit of God will bear witness. You've got the gift of eternal life. You know where you're going to go. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When Stephen, the first martyr, was being killed, he said, into your hands I commit my... Instantly, he would have been in the presence of the living God, the living Christ. If you die tonight, if you die tonight, where are you going to be? You see, this is about heaven and hell. This is about knowing God. Listen, if you do not want God now, if you don't want God's answer, if you don't want God's love, forgiveness, and the cleansing that comes from Christ, if you don't want Christ now, I'm going to tell you right now, frankly, as someone that loves you, you won't get him in a second chance on the other side. It's appointed in a man once to die. After that, there's a judgment, my friend. The planos finite spirits that will try to cram you with reincarnation and all kinds of other ideas and try to placate death. Listen, you know what? They're lying to you. They're considered lying spirits. And I would pray by the authority of the living Christ that he would help break through that if you're listening right now. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ would grip you to turn your face to a Savior that loves you, that wants to know you, that wants to solve the issues and come to dwell in you, to take the capacities that were originally created for Imago Dei, the image of God, to take that and fill that with his presence. Or do you want the planos, counterfeit, finite spirits? It involves choice. Where are you at? What are you going to choose? Do you want God right now in your life? The Bible says, Jesus taught this, the invitation clearly, study it, John's Gospel chapter 7, that he loves you. That Jesus himself cried out that anyone, wherever you're at, doesn't make any difference. You can be in China right now, in Russia right now, the Czech Republic, in Norway. You can be down there in South Africa. You can be in Canada. You can, wherever you're at listening right now, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God inside of me, it's a divine appointment. God, the Holy Spirit, summons you. Come up out of the lies, the deception. Come on, my friend, come up out of it. Christ calls you. The Spirit of God calls you. You can right now renounce all of the finite, fallen, counterfeit spirituality. You can come right now and say, Jesus Christ, I want you. I trust in you. I surrender myself. I open myself. I renounce. Even if you're a Satanist, I renounce the demons. I renounce these other capacities and abilities that has come from that side. And I want Jesus. I want God the Holy Spirit. I want what this man is talking about. You feel the presence of God, come to Christ. Step out of the darkness. Step out of the counterfeit and come to the living God. You can write to me. And if you've come to accept Christ tonight, right now, as he comes into your life, I want you to write to me so I can help you. Russ Dizdar, Shatter xmail@sbcglobal.net. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. Whole bunch of stuff we'd like to give you away free there. Compelled by the love of God, wherever you're at in all the world, I just say I love you. But I'm telling you that God loves you. If you're a believer in Christ, just open wide, worship God. You now are a temple of the indwelling Spirit, Christ. If you don't know him, if God's on the outside right now, my friend, don't wait any longer. Don't put it off. Total forgiveness. The truth is, total forgiveness. God loves you. God wants you. You gotta come now. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Believe on him.